Hallelujah. Oh, go away, Satan.
Amen.
Oh, go away, fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just release the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the title of message 2 together with a exercise spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Bearing fruit by enjoying the riches of church life. Amen. Wow. I just really appreciate this is a training that brother mentioned. That's a training to be renewed. Our mind had to be renewed.
Amen.
I just really appreciate every single point, even though so simple, we may heard about many, many times.
Amen.
But our mind has to be renewed every time.
Amen.
Especially for the bearing of fruit.
Yes.
Oh Lord, if you ask me what to do to bear fruit, like 3 years ago, I would say, oh, by laboring, by working hard, by my effort. But that's not right. That's not this message about. Bearing fruit by enjoying.
Amen.
Oh, enjoying.
Amen.
I just so enjoy the so like this song that called, We're just here to be happy.
Amen.
And to be joyful.
Amen.
Oh, in the spirit feast on Him.
Amen.
Oh, so God's garden can bear fruit and abundantly.
Amen.
Oh, we're here just bearing fruit by enjoying all the riches of Christ's life.
Amen.
Oh Lord, this is so wonderful. Let's just see, this bearing fruit is just simply a overflowing of this life,
Amen.
Which we enjoy. We helped very much by the brothers yesterday. It's just overflowing life, and when we enjoy this life, wherever is the right place, right?
Yeah.
And whoever is the right person,
Amen.
We just need this. We just need someone to overflow with.
Amen.
This life has to reach someone.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's an unbeliever or believer.
Right.
It's just like overflow. There's like we just allow this life to overflow through us,
Amen.
And then we have to see this enjoying. It's not our laboring. It's
right.
Sometimes it's hard to see how much we enjoy. Because we need to spend much more time privately with the Lord. Allow this life to go deeper in us.
Amen.
That's the real enjoyment.
Amen.
This really brought me to this Matthew 6:6. I just read it to you. But you, when you pray, entering into your private room, and shut your door, and pray to your Father in secret. Oh, who's in secret? Amen. That's a key for us to have purpose that we have a morning revival. In the morning, that's the best time to touch the Lord.
Amen.
In secret to draw the supply.
Amen.
And then through this, we can supply others. And the bearing fruit is just simply the issue of out of our enjoying.
Amen.
And we had to see the last night, brother mentioned, We had to get to the Word.
Amen.
We had to gain this objective knowledge.
Amen.
We had to see how rich this life we have. So it's just mentioned few verses that we memorized yesterday on day one. So how about brothers can volunteer for 1 John 1:5? Do we still remember? 1 John 1:5. And
John 1:5,
and this is
the
message which they from them
and announce to you
that God is the
light, and in Him is no darkness
at all. Amen. So we see that this life is light, full of light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. And then we see, in 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love has not known God, because God is love.
Amen.
So just a little bit a taste of what kind of life we have. Full of life, full of light, full of love. With this kind of life, we approach people. We overflow this such a life to others. That's not what we do, but what we enjoy, what we overflow. Amen. I think now we can come to Roman numeral 1.
Amen.
How about we read together?
Amen.
According to the gospel of John, the gospel of life, preaching the gospel is a matter teaching, bearing fruit. It depends upon the riches of the life within us. Hallelujah. It depends upon the riches of the life within us. Before I ask a brother to share his testimony, but we can see in the early days, the Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul and Silas. Those are excellent examples of how to overflow in the life.
Amen.
We see in Acts 5:20, I just love this. After all this trial that Peter went through,
Amen.
And then he got released from the Sanhedrin, the angel came to him. He asked him, go and speak to the people all the words of this life.
Amen.
As this life is not merely his life, but it's his life, but it's the divine life that he experienced and lived out through his life. So through his life, he made this divine life so real, so enjoyable, so real to everyone to see it. That's the life that draws people. It's not what we live upright person or our ethical. That's not draw people. But really, thing that draws people is this divine life lived out through us.
Amen.
And also we see later Acts 16:25, we see vital companion.
Yeah.
Vital companion of Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
While they were in the, and about midnight,
Amen.
Paul and Silas, while praying, sang hymns of praising to God.
Amen.
And the prisoner was listening to them.
Amen.
Wow, we see, it doesn't matter where they are in the prison. But they're just overflowing this life.
Amen.
They're just enjoying life and help one another to enjoy enjoy this life.
Amen.
And then they just overflow to whoever in the prison, the sinners, the prisoners. And then they all listen to them about what their enjoyment. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I think now I can ask Min Su to share his enjoyment. His testimony this year.
Hi, my name is Min Su. I'll be a junior this coming fall. And my testimony is not necessarily of bringing someone to salvation, but of bringing someone into the garden.
Amen.
And so this coming, or last fall, in our very first Thursday night, I met David. And he was already a believer, but he was not in this garden.
Yeah.
And so that comes to my very first point, actually, is that I made contact right away. I got his phone number on the very first night, and I also consistently made contact with him.
Amen.
Around this same time in the early fall, the Brothers House in Seattle decided to have a Brothers House dinner every Wednesday night. And we would just cook dinner and invite all our friends. And sometimes we would have singing, sometimes we'd have fellowship. It was a little awkward at first, but it was really enjoyable through the more we did it. And so every week I just contacted him, like, hey, David, 7 p.m., you're going to be there. And he faithfully showed up. And this leads to my second point, is that I just brought him to the brothers. Because I had no idea how to shepherd this one. I had no idea what to do. So I just brought him to the brothers. And thirdly, I prayed with the brothers because, unfortunately, I have not so great of a memory, and so I wouldn't remember to pray for him all the time, even though I was burdened for him. But by bringing him to the brothers, others became burdened for him.
Amen.
And so throughout the year, he first came to our dinners, and then he would come to our table meetings sometimes. But the most, the watershed was actually a college conference, and this is where I believe he really experienced the overflow of life.
Amen.
And how I know this is because after that, he totally changed. In the matter of, first we were just watering him, first we were just feeding him, and now he was feeding us.
Amen.
And so after this point, he came to all our table meetings, and he just couldn't stop overflowing. And I was just like, well, what happened to you? Like, come on. And eventually he came to our home meetings. And so this last point, this gradual progress, I just want to mentioned that it took the entire school year. And so there were many times where actually a few weeks he wouldn't show up. Sometimes I wouldn't see him. And although I got discouraged, in the end, he became a remaining fruit. And this summer, we've been reading the life study of Matthew together. And it's just been so enjoyable to have someone who started in dead religion into this living garden.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So in this, in Miso's testimony, we see there's a few points really important. So we can get into this letter A and B under Roman numeral 1. So we can have a brother read A and sister read B. Brother, go. When branches receive a sufficient supply, they bear fruit as the overflow of the inner life supply. When requires in peace. Amen. So we see it's really important for ourselves to enjoy the Lord first, to draw this supply of life juice. And then through this life, Minshu mentioned, it's just like we're just feeding him. We're just feeding this brother. And eventually he reached a point, he can overflow and water us. I was really surprised. He got into a lot of life studies after that point. And then he's just seeking fellowship. He just seek to overflow his joy. And that's, I think that also encourage our brothers to get into this matter of shepherding people through the life. It's not through their coolness or whatever to be making friend. If only that after they graduate, what happened to the young ones, right? So, but the most important is they lead them to taste this life. After they taste this life, I have full assurance that he will remain. Amen. He will remain in this enjoyment of this life. Amen. Amen. So let's get to Roman numeral 2. Leading people to salvation does not involve things that are miraculous. Rather, it is according to the law of freedom. Amen. So I hope we not think it's a miraculous thing to bear fruit. It's a really, it's just, as the brother mentioned, it's just really an organic way of have a burden, because this life within us full of burden for people, full of burden for people. Yeah. And we just one with him. Yeah. And we just start with something small, like, oh, how about this brother? How about pray for this? And even sometimes it's harder to pray by yourself. You can always bring it to your companion, your roommate, your friend who you read Bible with, or just anyone, or even serving one. Just pray for them. And then as you realize this life operates in you. It's not just from a prayer. And then later on, you start inviting them. You start inviting them, and you make an initiative. You start reaching out. You spend time with them. This is really gradual, not only on their part, also on our part. This life just gradually growing us, and the burden just within us is full of burden for bearing fruit, and because it's really a law of life. Every life has their law. We don't need to ask the fruit tree to bear fruit. It's just their law to bear fruit. Same thing as Christian, we enjoy this life, this riches of Christ's life. It's spontaneously will lead us to bearing fruit. Because the Lord Jesus is such a person. Wherever he goes, he just preaches gospel. Wherever he goes, he just supplies life to others. So we have this life. We apply this law. So we can get into letter B under Roman numeral 2. I can just read briefly. B, in order to experience the law of life, we must fulfill certain requirements. How about brother on 1 and sister on 2? Alternate. We need to abide in the Lord and absorb his supply.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb the supply of God the Father, as the soil that provides the nutrients, and the supply of the Spirit as the rain that waters and refreshes.
Amen. We need to abide in the Lord and serve God as our light and the Spirit of His light.
Need to abide in the Lord and live in the church as the garden of God, so that we can be nurtured and protected.
Amen. I really enjoy this point. We need to abide in the Lord and live in the church as the garden of God, so that we can be nurtured. Nurtured and protected. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just really want to ask Tim B to share a little bit his experience how in this matter.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. My name is Timothy. I'm going to be a senior next year at the University of Washington. And I wanted to just share a little bit about helping a brother really experience the Lord. So my friend Jared, we met during the first Thursday night fellowship meeting of this year, and we talked, we exchanged contact information, and at the time, because it was the start of the year, we were breaking up into Bible reading groups, and at the time, I didn't really have anyone to read with yet, so I said, hey, do you want to be part of a Bible reading group with me? And he agreed, and so we started to meet every week to read the Bible together. But what I realized very quickly was that if I didn't enjoy the Lord before we met, I didn't really know what to speak. There wasn't really anything that I could overflow to him because I hadn't enjoyed. And so a lot of times, our Bible reading kind of fell into an intellectual discussion more than actually ministering life. And actually, this happened a lot because, there was a lack of enjoyment on my part. And so there was nothing I could overflow, even though all the outward circumstances were right. So that was my first point, which is that we really need to enjoy the Lord in order to overflow to others.
Amen.
And the second point was that we can't do it on our own. You know, I have to confess, when I first started reading with Jared, I treated it as kind of like a project, you know. It's my job. It's my responsibility to help this brother experience the Lord. But, you know, I quickly realized there's nothing that I can do in myself. You know, I don't have the right words. But even more, it's like even if I did have the right words, sometimes it's just not enough. And so I really appreciated, like Minsu mentioned, bringing him to the brothers. We brought him to the Wednesday night dinners. We brought him to the home meetings. And that was really where he started opening up, started being more open, rather than because of anything that I said to him. Which brings me to my third point, which is that I was also faithful to pray for him with a companion. And actually, this is, I think, the most important point, at least for my testimony, is because I can testify that the prayer was accomplished the most, much more than anything else that I did. Because one time, actually, a few weeks before the training, we had our last meeting before he went back home for the summer, and he said to me, we were just talking about something, and he said to me, you know, recently, I've just had the thought, I want my experience with the Lord to deepen. And it was just kind of out of nowhere. I hadn't said anything to him to spark that, but I realized it's because I prayed with the other brothers that, you know, he was able to open to the Lord at least a little bit. And not only was, you know, shepherding him, not only was it a help to him, but actually I got supplied a lot. You know, I got exposed a lot, but also when we were reading together, a lot of things that I hadn't noticed before, suddenly, you know, the Lord started shining on. I forgot how I was going to close it. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for enjoying your riches.
Amen.
Amen.
What I want you to take notes on in this session is the testimonies, right? The testimonies. So our brother just shared three points from his experience that helped him to bear fruit. And what we want to see in this message is, like it says in point D, we want to see that bearing fruit is actually very easy. It's very easy. So, with Tim had three points, right? Do you remember the first point that he made? The first point was that he realized whenever he contacted this brother, if he didn't first enjoy the Lord it would just end up being a mental, what was the word you used? Discussion. So just a mental discussion. So number one, before we contact people, we need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
All right, abide in the Lord. Second, his second point was that he realized he couldn't do it himself. At first, he just wanted to do it himself, right? This is my new one. This is my one that I'm taking care of. Then he realized he can't do it himself. So he realized he needed the brothers, right? So that's number two. The third point, remember what his third point was? Prayer, that's right. The third point is prayer. And there was that experience when just out of the blue, seemingly, this one who has a tendency to be mental just said, you know what? I feel like I need to deepen my relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Where did that come from? It didn't just happen. It came from prayer.
Amen.
It came from prayer. And not individual prayer, but corporate prayer.
Amen.
So you got those three points, okay? And we're going to have a lot more testimonies here, and I want you to follow along with these testimonies on what these brothers share. Now, in the outline, of course, we read that point. True or false? True or false? Don't look at your outline. It takes a miracle to lead someone to salvation.
False.
Absolutely false, right? Okay, but if you think about it, you might be thinking about your friend or your classmate or someone that you know. And let's be honest. Have you ever had this thought? Man, it would take a miracle for this person to get saved. Right? Have you had that thought? I think we've all had that thought, right? Well, I want to tell you something. It doesn't take a miracle for someone to get saved.
Amen.
All right? There is actually a formula in the Bible that says, if you do this, then you will bear fruit. All right? And it's right there. I don't think we read the verses, did we, in John 15? So let's look at that really quick, right, before we have our other testimonies. John 15:5. I'm just going to read part of the verse to you. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
That's it. Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
He who's been to at least 5 college trainings, has memorized at least 100 verses, can bear fruit.
No.
He who goes to every single meeting in the church life is qualified to bear fruit. Only those who spend at least 45 minutes every morning with the Lord can bear fruit. No, that's not all there, right? What it says is, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
That's it. It's really simple. If we abide in the Lord, then we will bear fruit. It is a law. It is a law. All right, so point C says, when there's a proper cooperation, much fruit can be born. Thus, we all must learn to responsibly cooperate with the law of fruit bearing. As long as we labor according to this law, it will be very easy to bring people to the Lord. What is this law? Abide. Yeah, it's abide in the Lord. And I like in point four, B4, it's also to abide in the Lord and to live in the church as the garden of God. And if we have these two things, we will bear fruit. All right, so we're going to call up Isaac and Philip to share, right? Isaac's going to be first, and then Philip. So Isaac has one point, all right? So see if you can get what his main point is on how he was helped to bear fruit.
So my name is Isaac. I'm... fourth year. And when I was, I think I was, it was my first year of college, there was he was invited to the college and in the home, it was nothing that I did. It was really his care, how he was saved, was really the Lord, and how it was the overflow of the riches of Christ. What he saw was nothing that we tried to do. We didn't try to make him enjoy the Lord. We just invited him, and he saw the families enjoying the Lord, and this is how he was brought fully into the church life. through the care and through the overflow of the enjoyment. Amen.
Okay. I don't know if Isaac made it clear, but the friend that came over was actually your sister's friend, right? Mutual friend, maybe. And then it was actually at his house, right? It wasn't initially a meeting when he came over and was hanging out. And that's how he got saved, right? Was it your parents? And it was his parents that helped their friend receive the Lord. How many of you live at home while you're going to college? All right, see, a good number of you. I don't know if your families are in the church life or not, but I don't know if you've ever thought about just inviting some of your friends, your college buddies over to hang out. Was it a meal or just hanging out? Just hanging out, all right? Just inviting your buddies over to hang out. And eventually, this friend was led to receive the Lord. All right, so this is the church life garden, amen. Right? This is called being in the church life garden. All right, so thank you, Isaac. That's very helpful. All right, so now we'll go with Philip.
Amen. So I'm Philip.
Do you have Philip? Four. Okay, I want you to write these down, all right? Philip has 4 points in his testimony. I want to make sure you get these 4 points.
So I'm Philip. I graduated from the University of Washington this past year. And last year, I was really touched with one of the brothers encouraged us. The first person you sit next to in your first class in the fall, you have to speak to them about the Lord. And I knew that I had a friend named Tiffany, and I've known her since freshman year, and I knew that we're going to take the same classes in the fall, so I was for sure going to sit by her. And at the same time, this past year, I moved into the brother's house. So because of that, I could come to the campus meetings, which otherwise I'd have to commute back home. So now I can come to the campus meetings. I can invite Tiffany to also come to the meetings. And I invited her because I was very burdened that she would come to know the Lord in a deeper, fuller way. She was a sister already, so she was saved, but she met a denomination, and she didn't have a very personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. So I realized that I can do nothing in myself because in order for her to gain a deeper personal relationship with the Lord, I need to speak the truth to her, but I don't have very much constitution with the truth. So I needed to bring her to the brothers, to the other saints, and to these campus meetings. So I invited her, and right off the bat, in the second meeting, we're covering John 2, and she was so impressed with the story of the water changing into wine, how we are these water pots filled with death, and the Lord is changing us into life. And she said this was something that she has never seen before, and that she was so impressed that there's so many riches in a story that she usually just glanced over. There's so many riches that were open to her. And I just kept inviting her to all the campus meetings, and then back in around April or so, I started inviting her to the home meetings for her to connect with the saints. So I have 4 main points, and the first one was I realized that I have nothing in myself and that Jehovah is everything. Amen. Jehovah is the great I am. Hebrews 11:6 says that he who comes forward to God must believe that he is. I might have very little constitution, the truth, and the word, but I can just rely on the Lord. I can just cooperate with the Lord and bring her to the campus meetings. Amen. And secondly was that God is faithful to work himself into us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, and he is faithful only to himself in the sense that he'll work himself deeper into us. Mm-hmm. And so it was my prayers for a long time that Tiffany would have a more personal relationship because God is faithful to do this in her. And that leads me to my third and fourth points, which are a bit more practical. Third was that I needed to pray corporately and personally and pray very desperate prayers because I realized because God is faithful, I can claim his faithfulness. Amen. And I can say, Lord, you are faithful to work yourself into Tiffany. You are faithful to draw her closer to you. Amen. So I prayed very desperate prayers, both corporately and personally. And this experience really revolutionized my personal time with the Lord. Because no longer did I pray for myself and what I wanted, but rather I prayed for the other saints, for the other brothers and sisters, that they will be brought onwards with the Lord. Amen. So that was my third point. And I also persevering in prayer was very important, even when there's no outward change, but persevering in prayer. My fourth point was I had to be very diligent to follow up and keep an open schedule. I had to reschedule lab sections because otherwise they would conflict with the Thursday night meetings. And I had to be there to invite Tiffany to come, because otherwise, without me being there physically present, she might not be motivated to come to the meetings. So being very diligent, being very cooperative with the Lord to open up yourself, to open up your schedule was very important. So to conclude, it was very important to have the proper coordination with the Lord and praying desperately with the Lord that every single person would be saved and brought onwards into a deeper personal relationship with the Lord.
Good. Thank you. Was that good? Okay, so you get us 4 points. All right, what was number one? Yeah, he realized, again, some of the other brothers mentioned this too, right? They realized that they couldn't do it in themselves. And second was what? God is faithful, right? To never give up, no matter what happens with Tiffany. Philip and the brothers stood on God's faithfulness, that he would not give up on her. Even if she didn't make it here or there, they never gave up. Okay, number three. Yeah, corporately and personally, and persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. And then lastly, diligent to always follow up, all right? Diligent to always follow up. So there are some very helpful practical points. Now we're going to go to a short video of a testimony that we had in the West Coast College training in Southern California. It's about, it'll be about 7, are we able to play it at 1.2 speed or, yeah? All right, so we're going to play it, it's a little bit long, so I'm going to play it at 1.2 speed. At times he speaks fast, but mostly he speaks slow. So don't be distracted by the Donald Duck voice at times. And I want you to, as we play this video, all right, so we're hearing from the side of the vine now, the side of the vine. What are the brothers doing behind the scenes? How are they contacting people? How are they praying for people? How are they caring for people? All right, but now we want to see it from the other perspective, all right, from the one who's being contacted, from the one who is being born as fruit. What are they seeing? What are they seeing in us? And so this is a testimony of our brother James. I want you to look for two things. After this, watching this, you need to answer two questions. Number one, what was it that attracted James to the Lord? What was it that attracted? He was an unbeliever, all right? He was an unbeliever. What was it? This is James over here. What was it? Then secondly, there was a time when he went through a really hard time. And what was it when he was discouraged that kept him? What was it when he was discouraged that kept him? All right? Answer those. Be looking for the answer to those two questions as we play this video. Okay? Sorry.
Since I was little, we would go to church. We would go every Sunday. All I did was sit, stand, nothing. There's no gain. I would just go there because my mom told me so. So I was in high school, and I met Andy, Zion, and Vin. And they were, like, very attractive people. Like, I mean, like, they were very nice. And they were very nice, and they were, like, very fun to be with. So I just really enjoyed their company every single time I saw them. And when I graduated high school, I went to a community college, and they were there. And when I got to the community college, one of my old friends from high school told me, "Hey, those guys are in a Bible club, and they practice really weird. You should watch out for them." So I was like, "All right, I'll watch out for them." But the sister brought me to the Bible club, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that we can come together as one, right? And so I was going to the Bible study, like, I was just actually going there that first year just because of these guys. Because in community college, you go in, you go out, you go home. That's it. You have no friends, or you don't make that much friends. And so that year passed on, and then for my winter break, I went to the Philippines. And before I went to the Philippines, something was really bad to me, and then it kind of hurt me, and it kind of, like, I wanted to step away from the Bible club, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna go to the Philippines. It was really tough because I was traveling by myself. Satan was just attacking me left and right, and I couldn't do anything. I wanted to stay there because I just ran away from my problems. But my mom said, "Just go back. Everything's gonna be all right." So I got back here, And the brothers just kept, they texted me. They're like, hey, what are you doing? I heard you're back. Let's hang out. Let's play basketball. Let's do this. So at first I was like, no, it's going to bring back bad memories. And maybe I shouldn't. I'm still like kind of depressed and sad. So they just kept pursuing me. And so I was like, all right, I'll go hang out with them. So I was hanging out with them, and I really just enjoyed it. They didn't force anything to me. They didn't say, hey, read this Bible, read this. But I'm like a very curious person. I ask a lot of questions. So I asked them, so what do you guys do? Like, what do you do on Friday nights? Because, you know, like, I didn't do anything on Friday nights. I would hang out, watch a movie or something. But they were like, oh, we go to this home meetings. So I was like, oh, I want to go to a home meeting. So Ben brought me to a home meeting. I walked in. There was this little girl who I coached swimming. She was there, and then when I walked in, she was like, hi, Coach James. And I was like, where am I? And then so I really, like, being in there just felt like I was home. Amen. It felt like a family. Amen. So I really appreciated that. And so I really enjoyed all the dispensing that all the saints was doing to me. And, like, I just want to overflow. But I felt like the Satan was still attacking me left and right. So I decided to meet with some full-timers. And these full-timers, we would meet once a week, but there's two of them, so I would meet with two full-timers a week and then go to a home meeting. And while I was reading with them, I was like, I just want more. I just want more. I just want to gain more because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, what's my purpose? And in the Bible study that we were, I learned that we are a vessel, that we are supposed to be, we are filled with the Lord.
Amen.
And I was like, I don't think I'm filled with the Lord. I need to be filled with Him.
Amen.
So we would meet twice a week, and I said, bro, I need more, I need more. And then, so this brother Sam handed me my very first Bible, and it had the footnotes. And I really appreciated that, because I was like, okay, I'm going to read my Bible when I get home. I read the Bible, I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't know how to use the footnotes. And then I came to one of the brothers, I think it was Vin, I was like, Vin, how do you use this? So he taught me how to use the footnotes. So I really appreciated that, I read the Bible. And then some things just still doesn't make sense. And then I asked Sam again, I was like, Sam, what do I need to do? He said, maybe listening to the life studies will help. So after I read a chapter, and if I don't understand it, I go to the life study, I listen to it, it's about 30 minutes, and it's just, like, all the things I don't understand just make sense.
Amen.
And the Lord was just speaking to me. So I really appreciated that. And then during that time, I was like, I read about how we need to receive the Lord and get baptized.
Amen.
Right? And I was like, I want to get baptized. I want to get out of the worldly things.
Amen.
So the brothers and I were praying about me getting baptized, and we were just reading the verses every single week about being baptized. What does it mean? Right? And I really appreciate that. So I asked the Lord. So after I got baptized, it felt amazing. I felt like I was in cloud nine. But after that, like a week passed by, a month passed by. And then Satan just kept attacking me. I said, what is going on? Why is he still attacking me? And then the saints were like, just call on the Lord. He will lead you to his way, to his path, to his goal. And then the Lord just, hey, there's a, one of the things I learned in college meetings is you need to sign up for a class, right? So if you're in the club, and if you don't go to the club, you won't get anything. So I decided to put myself in the, just to wrap it up, so this is my fourth year in IVC, and it's a community college. Some of you might think, oh, he's still in a community college. But I'm studying nursing, and my mom didn't really want me to come here because I'm supposed to be done a semester early if I don't come here, if I take a summer class. But my mom was, but then I decided, you know what? I'm for the Lord. The Lord is my goal.
Amen.
And it might take me an extra semester, but it's okay. The Israelites took 40 years to get to the good land. It's okay for me to postpone it a semester. So I really enjoy that, and I'm happy to be here. And I just want to keep gaining the Lord, see the Lord, and blend with every one of you guys. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. James, one more thing.
Uh-huh.
You have a burden now, right?
Amen.
For, I believe it's for your family?
Yeah, my mom, my brother, and my sister are now saved.
I think you get the flavor of his testimony. You can tell he's burdened for his family, right? He has a lot of feeling about his family. And you could also tell that it wasn't easy, right? There was like three or four times when he kind of hit a wall and when there was some perseverance necessary to really get him through those different challenges. Okay, my first question, remember what it was? What was it for that the very first thing that attracted him to the Lord? What was the first thing? Yeah, it was, he actually used that word attractive, right? He was like, the brothers were attractive, meaning nice, probably shining, right? And what did he enjoy doing with them? He just enjoyed hanging out. That's what he enjoyed doing. Eventually, he started really enjoying the Lord and getting hungry for the Lord. But it didn't start off, actually, with, the full and high gospel being preached to him from Genesis to Revelation. What initially attracted him was just some brothers who were enjoying the Lord, happy probably, nice, attractive. It was hard for him to describe, but he just liked being around them and hanging out with them. So that's how it started. That's how it started. And of course, eventually he was led to receive the Lord. Now, in his first crisis, remember when he went to the Philippines? He went home and there was some attack of Satan. He didn't want to come back and meet with the brothers. What was it that got him through? From his perspective, what was it that got him through? Yeah, it was perseverance for the brothers to continue to contact him. But what were they asking him to do? They were just asking him to get together. And what he said is play basketball, right? Play basketball and hang out. They weren't necessarily inviting him to a meeting or telling him to restart his morning revivals. But all they did is, I'm sure those, you think those brothers were praying? Yeah. I'm sure those brothers were praying. And eventually, he at least agreed to just go hang out with them. And it was through that his joy was restored in the Lord. And eventually, he started meeting with the saints again. So I want you to see it. On our side, what are we doing? We're praying. We're coordinating. We are enjoying the Lord, right? Those brothers were enjoying the Lord. That's why they were attractive to this brother James. But from the other's perspective, what people see is, wow, these guys are happy dudes. I want to hang out with these guys. And they welcomed him, and they spent time with him. And eventually, they were able to get him through some of those barriers that he faced. Okay, so that's James. Now, let's quickly read through this outline, and then I'm just going to leave you with a couple points at the end. Okay, Roman number 3, how about let's read it all together. We need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit. Brothers, point A.
To abide in the Lord means that there is no insulation or distance between us and Him. There is nothing between us and the Lord.
Sisters, B. C, brothers.
As you contact people on the campuses, you must have the deep sense and the full realization that you are abiding in the Lord. When you talk to people, you must talk to them by abiding in Him.
Amen. You must talk to them by?
Abiding in Him.
Okay, sisters D. Point E is very important. Let's read it strongly all together. We all must go to reach people. Whether we have the overflow of life or not, we must still contact people. If we do not reach people, we will have no way of knowing where we are. All right? You might get in this thought and be like, man, I am not abiding in the Lord today. I just better not meet with George or Susie. Like it says here, whether we have the overflow of life or not, we must still contact people. And actually, it's because we contact people that we really get the help to abide in the Lord. I don't know if you remember, I think it was in Tim's testimony. He realized that he That contact with people forced him to abide in the Lord. So which comes first, abiding in the Lord and then contacting people? It can go either way. Sometimes we know we have to contact people, so then we know, oh, I must abide in the Lord. Sometimes we're just abiding in the Lord, and then spontaneously we contact people. Anyway, it goes both ways. Now, I just want to conclude with three short points, and then we'll see what to do. Now, number one is, now is the best time to bear fruit. Now, when you're in college, there's no easier time when you have lots of contact with lots of different people who are looking for some direction in their life. Now is the best time. How many of you are incoming freshmen? Yeah, raise them high. Raise them high, incoming freshmen. Good. That's good. I'm guessing maybe like 35, huh? So, incoming freshmen, now is the best time, especially when you're with your fellow freshmen. You're sitting in class, you make friends. This is the easiest time, the best time to bear fruit and contact people for the Lord. Don't wait till you're a senior. Number two, it is easy to bear fruit. It's easy. In the outline, it says very easy. It's very easy to bear fruit. And we just need to follow the law of abiding in something and living in something. We abide in what? We abide in what? In who? The Lord. And we live in this is going Roman numeral 2b4. All right? We abide in the Lord and we live in the church as the garden of God. All right? I'm so happy in this lovely place. Then lastly, bearing fruit is the intrinsic activity that must be behind all of our gospel activities. So you might be at a campus with a club, with this meeting, that Bible study, whatever it is. Well, if you have great organized activities, I mean well organized, just knock your socks off, food and multimedia presentations, but you're not abiding in the Lord, then you will not bear fruit. Conversely, how many of you are at a campus where you don't have a club and it's just a couple of you? All right, or maybe no full-timers at your campus. All right, it's just you. So I hope you all are encouraged, because having a club or having those outward activities is really not that important. That was not a condition for bearing fruit on this outline. And it's not a condition in the Bible for bearing fruit, that you must have full-timers and must have a campus club. The condition is just abide in the Lord and live in the church as the garden of God. And if you do, then you can bear fruit too. All right? So let's not focus on the outward things. Let's focus on abiding in the Lord and living in the church to bear fruit. Amen. Okay?